Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, when you think of the sport as a whole, you know, a lot of people really don't sit back and look at the coaches, the facilities that train these fighters and create these warriors that we love and we justify each and every fight night. You know, I was honored when this gentleman reached out to me because, you know, looking at what he's done in the sport since the last time I've had him on the show has surely been tremendous. You know, he looks to his fighters not to just give him guidance, but a path in life. And he's truly doing that with each and every one that he works with. And he's creating greatness in the sport while doing that. With that being said, I'm going to welcome Jim West, the head coach of MMA Gold, to the program. Jim, how's it going?
Good, Don. How are you doing?
Just enjoying this semi-warm day out here in the Midwest, a massive 58 degrees, so it's a heat wave, you know.
Well, I'm in Vegas right now at the UFC Performance Center, and I thought I was going to get away from the cold at home in California, and it's cold here in Vegas and windy as all heck. I'm like, what the heck's going on here?
Yeah, didn't it just snow in Sacramento not too long ago?
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought it was snow, but what it was is it was hailing so hard that and it stayed around for a while, so it looked like snow, but it wasn't actual snow. It was just huge balls of hail that piled up, and it kind of looked like snow.
Okay. You know, I kind of want to touch on Jim West for a minute. You know, we've known each other for a little bit. We've had our ins and outs. You know, I'm transparent in life. I don't mind sharing that. But one thing you can't take away from the fact is that what you're teaching fighters and what you're sharing with fighters fundamentally, physically and psychologically, is making a difference. It's making a huge difference. You know, you look at the fighters that come out of MMA Gold, and they're impacting the sport. How does it feel? Not only, I mean, because your team isn't on here, so I'm gonna speak to you in that aspect, I guess would be the best way to say it. How does it feel for you knowing that the knowledge and the things that you apply on the daily in the grind to your fighters, they're actually taking in, and now you're seeing success, you're seeing fighters win, you're seeing accomplishments and goals that a lot of gyms don't get to reap in. How does that make you feel as the head coach for MMA Gold?
Well, I mean, the easy word for me, the one word would be blessed. I mean, it's been a kind of a long road. You know, when I got into MMA, it was back in 2005, 2004. It was a different name, different guys. I was coaching different people. And we slowly progressed. And really, it's one of those things where I'm honored and blessed to be able to coach and share knowledge, not only with the fighters, but, you know, we have eight other exceptional coaches that are part of our staff that allow it to all work. You know, there's, you know, oftentimes when you get into the bigger gyms and things like that, you have multiple coaches like we do, but oftentimes they have a tendency to get an ego and want to start doing things their own way instead of doing what has got us and brought us success. So really it's just a culmination of the coaches along with myself and Ryan Brown, you know, our jiu-jitsu coach, and Alex Grundrell, our wrestling coach, and Mike Guy, and, you know, Jake Duangondra, our Muay Thai coach, and everyone else, Doug, and Dave. So it's kind of one of those things where we all work together. We all realize that, yeah, I may be the head coach on paper, but we're all working towards one common goal. You know, none of us are more important than the next, and we work together to try to create successful, not just athletes, but successful human beings.
Most definitely is. There is no you or I in team, and I'm starting to see that difference. I'm starting to see that aspect of MMA Gold. You look at fighters that have come and gone from there, when they still look back into their thank you bag, you know, MMA Gold is an organization that they still throw out there. So when Jim West sits you know, away from the gym, away from the fighters, and has that moment, and you reflect, and you look back at where you were and where you're at now, what does it mean to Jim West to see the success that you and your team have contrived in this sport, in this brutal sport or business?
It just means that hard work, dedication, and perseverance will always conquer. I mean, because that's really what it was. You know, there's so many gyms in our area, in California and across the country for that matter, where, you know, I'm going to start a team and I'm going to start coaching and do this and do that. But then they don't realize, you know, the dedication and the perseverance behind it and the times, like you said, where athletes that you once trained for years and years, you know, leave and go to somewhere else because, you know, for whatever reason that, you know, they get to make that decision. And so you see all of those things. And when all those things happen, that you never waver of to why you started coaching. You never waver from how you started it, how you started your program, how you started the system that we have, and you just stay in that straight and narrow. And so it's a sense of accomplishment, but not at the same time because there's so much more to accomplish. So you know, you stay on the track. You bow your neck and you keep moving forward.
Most definitely. You know, it's a tremendous night, fight night. And, you know, we'll get to the tomorrow in a second here. But how gratifying is it for Jim West and his team, you know, to see the success, to feel the motivation and the inspiration growing, and to have it all preclude on fight night and walk away with your head held high, whether it's a win or a lesson learned? What is the greatest statement Jim West and his team takes away from moments like that?
That we're here for a finite amount of time and that you make every moment count. And that night itself is the culmination of all of those things that you've been working towards and that you realize that, man, how much it took to get here, but the realization of how much more you can still do. And just the realization, like I said, that you have a finite time in this sport. So that things are tangible, that you can continue to work and reach those, the pinnacle. And if you just do the right thing, so it's always a sense of accomplishment. It's always a blessed feeling to be there, and no amount of money could ever give you the same feeling as seeing your athlete or your fighter their hand raised. There is no you can't, other than the fighter themselves when they get their hand raised as a coach. There is no better feeling. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of anything that means more than seeing your fighter's hands raised. It's an amazing night. It's an amazing feeling, but it's also one of those feelings where you're like, man, I want this again. What do I got to do to go back and help these athletes be better for the next one? So each time they're better and better, and never resting on the laurels of what they may have accomplished tonight. We got to worry about what we have to do tomorrow.
I love that. You know, I did a quote yesterday. It said, respect a fighter in defeat as you would in glory. As a coach, as a mentor, as a man in the walk in life, what does that analogy mean to Jim West?
I mean, it kind of speaks for itself. I mean, to have the utmost respect and for whomever you're competing against, whether I look at it as, you know, the coaches across from me in the cage, whoever we're facing, that I respect them as what they're doing. I respect how they're doing it, but that's kind of where it stops. I feel like I can't allow them to be better than me that night. Like, I feel that's my fight, is to be twice as prepared as them. And which then allows our fighter to be twice as prepared as their fighter. So the respect, I mean, that's exactly what it means. I mean, is you have respect for them in, like I said, in defeat and in glory. But that is the word itself, is you have respect for all aspects of it. You have respect for them. But at the end of the night, we have a job to do, and I believe that night I'm going to be better than them, and I believe that our fighter will be better than them because we're prepared more than they are. But we never lose sight of the respect part of it.
Yeah, you know, I kind of want to take you back just a minute, and then we'll kind of phase Aspen in this conversation. But I want to take you back to, I forget what Invicta it was, hell, I've done so many of them, but, you know, before that fight even occurred, you already knew where the fight was going to go with Aspen. You know, me and you had a conversation. You're like, you know, if everything goes according to the way we trained, then this fight's going to be a good fight. And I sat there and I watched the correlation as I shot the fight between you and your fighter. And for the first time, I obviously made a brilliant observation. There's a lot of fighters that don't truly listen to their corners, or they get sidetracked. But this fight in particular, you had called this fight to a T. Everything that you had said to your fighter, which was Aspen Ladd in the cage, correlated to a victory. How much work does a coach and a team put into each and every fight for each and every fighter? As that night, you proved to me that if a fighter listens to their corner, the fight's going to go their way.
Well, I mean, like I said, we have a fantastic group of coaches. And oftentimes, you know, we have quite a few fighters, and certain fighters gravitate to different coaches a little bit more. And, you know, some of them may gravitate to me more versus someone else, or vice versa. You know, it's one of the biggest things, and I watch pretty much all fights, whether they're in the region or they're in the UFC or Invicta or wherever it may be. And I, when I'm studying a fighter, right, or an opponent for us, we'll just use Aspen for example, I don't really look for, you know, oh, this person's a grappler, or, oh, this person's a good wrestler, or, oh, they can strike well. Really, you know what, my expectation is when they're at, let's just say, the UFC or the Invicta level, they better be able to do that. I'm looking for whether or not they have tendencies. You know, if a fighter does a specific technique, how are they reacting? What are their tendencies? I just look for those. And then and that's as far as it really goes. Because in my opinion, if you train your fighters correctly, you're not so focused on any one aspect. You're focused on all the aspects the same. So when you go into a fight, at least for our athletes, I'm going to use them as an example, you can do whatever you want as an opponent. We're going to be ready for whatever those things are. And I'm going to know your tendencies. I feel I'm going to know your tendencies by the time I'm done studying over the months and months. Sometimes I feel like I know their tendencies better than they know them. And, you know, and on top of it, when I'm watching fights, I'm watching their corner as well. So when I'm studying a fighter, I'm going to go and watch the fights, and I'm going to watch when they pan into the corners. I'm going to watch and listen to what their corners are telling the fighters also. And then I'm going to watch videos of their coaches, and I'm listening to their terminology. I'm watching their mannerisms. I'm watching to see how their fighter reacts, because a lot of that will tell me what and how their fighter will react or not react. So it's oftentimes coaches, and you can watch the UFC fights and you'll see, Don, you've been around the sport for so longer than I have. So many of the coaches and corners, they're just yelling arbitrary things, you know, get up. I need you to move. I need you to do this, but there's nothing specific behind it. And so it's very easy to pick off as a coach I'll just use our coaches. It's easy for us to be able to pick off and know what they're trying to do or what they're not going to be able to do, because the instruction is just simply not there. So it's easy for us to put our fighters in the positions that we know that their corner and the fighter's not going to be able to react to because they're not getting the correct instruction. So it's a whole circle of stuff. And I don't think fighters put enough emphasis on who they have in their corner. They just, oh, I think I'm going to have my friend in my corner because I trained with them for a month this time, or, you know what, I like this guy. So, you know, they, you know, whatever the reason may be, instead of really developing a relationship with whom is in your corner from the start of your career to the end. Now, granted, things could happen, and maybe you have a falling out with a coach or whatever. That happens, right? But that's not necessarily the norm. You need to build that camaraderie with one another, not only in practice, but in the corner, because they are two different things. You can coach all day long in a gym, but if you can't take the verbiage to game night and be able to articulate, look, I need you to go with your right hand to your right foot or whatever it may be, you've got to be able to give specific instructions. It's very different coaching in a gym during practice versus giving specific instructions in a fight. They don't necessarily correlate. You have to work on them both, but they're not synonymous, in my opinion, that is.
Yeah. Well, I have to agree with you. You know, I had Pat Miletich on the show, and, you know, it's funny. He referenced Tim Sylvia. He said he was the most horrible fighter in the gym. Listening to him, he was the most horrible on getting instruction. But come fight night, it was like he said he had soaked everything up like a sponge and was able to perform in the octagon. And but, you know, I look at that one night, and the reason I brought it up in particular because, you know, your fighter followed you to it. I think it was Invicta. It was like Aspen's. The one I made the video of, I think she was fighting.
Oh, was it Jessica?
God, it was just, yeah, it was the Hoy fight.
Okay, yeah. I think it was the third or fourth.
Yeah, I mean, she followed your example and everybody in her corner's example to a T, and the fight was tremendous. I don't even think she was, you know, even hurt in that fight. And I guess I post that fight from now on, you know, now and then because I think of Aspen and the growth in her career. You know, you're sitting at the UFC Performance Institute. You've got all these tremendous fighters on your team. You're an articulated coach. What does it mean to see your fighter be able to step up on a high scale and a high-profile fight such as Aspen is doing tomorrow with Leslie Smith?
It means everything. But it also means that I have to work harder, that I have to be more focused, that I can't make a mistake. I mean, that's the way I feel. It's every time you go out, you have to be better. And no one cares about your last fight. No one. Your next toughest fight is the one that's in front of you. And that's all that matters. And so me as a coach, I have to be better than I was last time. And that's the way I look at it, you know. And I continue to try to make myself better each and every time, and I try to add pieces to Aspen's toolbox. You know, everyone thinks, oh, Aspen's just going to come in and grapple you or whatever. And as you know, you can go back in every one of her fights, and we can use them to an example. I mean, Lena Landsberg, her last fight. Lena was is a multi-world Muay Thai champion. We fought with her for 5 minutes in the clinch because we can, because we train that. Not because we just train that, but because we train all aspects. So it goes back to what I said before. When you train all aspects, you're ready for whatever it is that they're going to bring. And we concentrate on doing what we do well, not what our opponent does well. We are just simply ready for what they do well. And we can react to it, and we can read it. And that's kind of it is. It's not we're humble in our approach, but we're very vigilant in what we're trying to do. And Aspen's next fight, you will see a better version every time Aspen goes out and fights, and it will be, and there'll be subtle things, but for those people like yourself and others that can have been around the sport and know what you're looking at, you will see improvements each and every time. So you can watch Aspen's fights as an opponent, and you can think she's going to do this or she's going to do that, and very well she might. But there's always going to be something that you're not ready for. And that's kind of the goal each and every time. And it's not just with Aspen. It's with all of our fighters, whether it's Anthony Hernandez, who just won the middleweight LFA title back in January, or it's Marion Renault, who just fought Sarah McMahon, you know, last weekend. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. That's my job. That's our coach's job to do those things. I will make sure with every part of my being that they're prepared.
And you truly have. And I love the way you allocated that. You know, we care about our fighter. We're not worried about the other fighter. You know, that's that's tremendous in one thing. But, you know, to speak of the growth in the fighters, you know, I've been around long enough. I've been watching your fighters, and the growth has been exponential. And, you know, you look at Aspen, and you correlated that to a T. I mean, each and every time she's come out, there's been a whole new facet. You can see the momentum, the strength, the gain, the knowledge that she's gotten from somewhere. Because, you know, like I said, there's no you or I in team. You know, Aspen, when you sit back and you hear Jim West speak about how much this means to him, with the passion that he evokes and the thoughtfulness and the learning of their fighters, how does it make you feel? You know, does it allow more relevance in your heart, knowing that it's not just you walking in the cage, it's a team?
Honestly, every time I fight, I never think of it as just me. I'm the one physically doing it. I'm the one in the cage. But every time I compete, it's me, then it's my coaches, it's Jim, and it's my guy who are always there with me. Leading up to that, I have fantastic training partners too. But my core group and what's made me better and stronger is my coaches. And they are always behind me. They're always like backing me. And their knowledge is what's preparing me for whatever fight I'm in next. So it does. It does feel like a team every time I'm in there.
And that's a tremendous aspect of it. You know, we kind of spoke a little bit before we went live, and, you know, I had mentioned that I interviewed Leslie Smith last week, and I'm transparent, and I don't hide anything that I say off air, on air. You know, when I had her on, she compared you just to another belt, scratch on her belt, you know, another step forward, you know, just another fighter, just another night to propel her forward. When you hear your opponent, you know, look at the complacency in certain aspects of who you are. I mean, you look at your career, you're undefeated, you're on a tremendous win streak, and each and every time you step into the octagon, we see a whole new facet of who you are. What does this fight truly mean to Aspen Ladd stepping into the octagon with Leslie Smith tomorrow?
I've given you the same analogy before, where every fighter is just another step. If she looks at me as a scratch on the belt, that's perfectly fine. And as I've told you before, when one of them talks shit, it actually makes it a little bit better. It doesn't bother me. I don't look at the other fighter like that. That's not my concern. All it's my only concern is when I get in the cage and my performance within it, not how much crap they can talk before the fight. We're paid fighters. We get in there and we fight for money. Nobody here's scared. Nobody's worried, oh, you're frightened of this aspect. Nah, that's what we do for a living. So it's kind of ridiculous, and that's one of the main reasons, besides the fact that it's just unnecessary and disrespectful. There's no need to talk shit. Come whatever time they give us, whatever date, for me it's April 21st, we're going to fight, and that's going to settle everything.
I love it because, you know, you go back to all your UFC fights and you watch the growth of Aspen Ladd. It's been tremendous. You know, one fight, you were so involved in what you were doing, you know, and certain aspects of social media made fun of it. They made a mockery of it. What I saw was a warrior in battle. You know, you were truly expressing and vocalizing where you were at in that moment. When you're in the cage, Aspen, and moments like that are occurring, is it like the rest of the world is blocked out and it's just you and that opponent and you're doing your best to win the fight? What applies in the mind of Aspen Ladd that lets you step up to that next level?
Oh, geez, you're referring to the yelling with Lena. Full disclosure, well, honestly, I didn't know until after somebody said, hey, were you? I was like, no, I don't think I was, and I watched the video. So, no, I was really caught up in the moment. It's not exactly intentional. It's a very emotional time, very high adrenaline. So I'm going to blame Matt for that one.
I actually loved it. I'll be quite honest with you. To me, it showed the raw side of Aspen Ladd. You know, Jim West, when you correlate that fight and you look at the training that Aspen had to date with that fight. You know, what is your thought and takeaway from the expressionism or the aspect that she perpetuated in that fight? To me, I think it was just pure warrior ability. But you're the coach. What were your thoughts?
Well, I didn't even hear her doing that during the fight. I'm like her. I didn't even know she was screaming. I when I go back and review the tape after is when I heard it. And I don't know if it was me that brought it to her attention or someone else, but I can't remember. It might have been on social media. But, yeah, I didn't hear her screaming during the fight. It wasn't until after when I was reviewing the tape. But the way I look at it is Aspen has one of those intangibles that is a unrivaled will to win. The only other person that I've seen with that is her teammate, Anthony Hernandez. Like, it's something that you just can't teach. And I knew, I did know once the fight hit the mat that Lena was not getting up. But as far as her hearing or her screaming, I didn't hear it until I watched the video after, and I was like, whoa, she was really screaming loud. But I didn't hear it during it.
You know what's funny is, the I think it was the last Invicta I shot, there was a fight, and I can't remember the fighter's name, but she had the other fighter on the ground, and, I mean, she was just going to town.
Oh, yeah, I saw it was she was talking to her, telling her, you know, you want
to
quit.
Yeah, she said,
just,
who's
going to
save
quit
you now?
I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, and it reminded me of Aspen. I was kind of, because I was right there shooting it, and I was like, you know, but theoretically, you know, in all honesty, that happens a lot more than people think, you know. But I love it because it shows the raw magnitude of who a warrior truly is. And but that was the first time at Invicta that I ever got scared of a fighter, because she's like, who's going to save you now? And I was like, oh,
yeah,
crap. You know, it was different.
That was pretty good.
But when you look at the correlation between you and Aspen Ladd, and tomorrow truly is one of the biggest stepping stones in her career, you know, how do you stay on point? How do you stay on focus? Because each and every time that Aspen does go out now, truly is going to be the next stone in her pathway. How hard is it for you to maintain that precision, the ability, and the confidence that she's exuded all of her last fights?
You know, I'll let Aspen answer most of that question, but the thing is, Don, is ever since Aspen came to MMA Gold when she was 17, one of the things that her and I have always maintained is it's one step at a time. Every step is not, we don't take steps over steps, right? We don't step over the next step. It's just, you know, her next fight is her next biggest fight. And we take one step at a time to the top and beyond. And right now, we've never looked past whatever our next step is. And we maintain that same thing. We humbly continue to work our asses off and be prepared for and respect whoever it is that is in front of us. And that's all we think about. And until that fight is done on April 21st, nothing else will be thought of. Nothing else will be spoke about. Once that fight is over, and we're victorious, then we'll talk about the next one. But it's always literally been that same statement ever since she started at 17, and it will always be that, and it will be one step at a time.
Yeah, truly, it's been a profound one step at a time. You know, Aspen, I look at your career, and sometimes, you know, we got to ask the elephant in the room question, and I hope you both don't mind, but You're undefeated. You haven't had to cross the lesson learned threshold per se as a pro. You know, when you look at that aspect of who you are, how much more relevance do you feel you put into each and every fight, knowing that strive for greatness, that ability that you ascertain, you don't want diminished?
Okay, for anybody that's had a lot of amateur fights than I have one loss in my record. I felt that feeling one time, and I know from that I never want to feel it again. And that's just another driving thing in every fight. Well, it's only 15 minutes. 25, you get lucky at some point. I'd love that. Fantastic. But You got 15 minutes to get in there and get what you need to do done. If you were to exit the cage without achieving what you set out to do, it is the biggest zone of regret. All you want to do is go back in time. You want to redo it. You want to redo it right then. So having felt that sometime in the past, it has a little bit of extra, well, I better do, execute everything exactly, precisely how we're supposed to, so I don't have to feel that again. But does it change? I think I'd feel the same way regardless of record. Every fight's the most important. Everything, nothing else in life matters, honestly, at that point. There's only the end of the road. The light at the end of the tunnel right now is that fight. There's nothing between here and then. Then there's nothing after. Everything's focused around that, so.
I love that. And, you know, in all the years that I've been interviewing you, I think the only thing that has changed is you talk more now. The ability and everything else is still the same, and you're still this tremendous warrior, but now you're more vocal. I remember the first show I did with you, and it was like pulling a tooth out of a tiger's mouth, and it's because you're humble in your walk, you know, and I think that says volumes about who you are as a warrior. You know, Jim, you hear Aspen speak, you hear what the sports world says about her. What does it mean to be able to be a part of this journey, not just with Aspen, but with Fluffy, with everybody else that you have your hands on, Marion Renault, and now you're even correlating with people like Andrea KGB Lee and other gyms across the country, you know, striving for that extra niche. What does it mean for you as a coach to continue to build and keep adding facets to warriors like Aspen and all under your wing?
Well, for one, it's a fucking blast.
Right.
I mean, it's fun as hell. I mean, I don't know how to. I love it. I mean, I've always been a very determined person and kind of a very type A personality. And so, I mean, I don't want to cuss, but it's an effing blast. I'm blessed to do it. I never get tired from it. Every day that goes by, I want to be better for them, for myself. I don't know how other to answer that other than how I did. It's, yeah. I'm deathly terrified of not being prepared. So I refuse to let that happen. And I have fun with it.
You know, I love it because you can see that you do each and every time. Of course, we've met in the person before, and that's added a different layer to our friendship. But you look at everything that has come to Aspiration in the beginning to now in MMA Gold, and the growth is continuing to excel. You're continuing to find great fortune in the sport. You know, what does the next phase of Jim West allow himself to express, not just to the fighters he has now, but if you had to make a statement to people that were looking for the right option, the right place to go train, the right aspect in their life that they need to find success, what would that statement be?
Well, one thing that I always find interesting, Don, is, so for example, I'll use a hypothetical or an analogy. When you're looking for, I don't know, let's make it simple. When you're looking for a new pair of pants, right, you typically know your size, right? You know, maybe you're a 34, maybe you're a 32, or you're a 36, right? But you got to go try those pants on. Right, even if you know what your size is, you still got to go try those pants on and make sure they fit right or the way you like it. What I would like to see fighters do is take that same approach with where they choose to go and train. Just because, you know, Marion trains with me or Aspen trains at MMA Gold and Fluffy and Max Griffin and all those different people, doesn't mean that that's going to be the right place for you. Now, I, in my heart, as being a competitive person, I believe that it's the right place for anyone. But you have to find that on your own. What I hate seeing the most is is where people just decide, oh, I'm going to go to this place because this guy's over there, this guy's over there, and there's a million training partners and so on and so forth. You try on your pair of pants, don't you? You make sure that those pants fit the first time. You go and try on a different pair, or you buy a car. It might not be the car, you know, you're thinking, I want an SUV, but all of a sudden you realize, maybe I want just a regular compact car. Well, you have to go to different dealers, right? You have to go and sit in those cars and test drive them. Oftentimes these fighters make mistakes and they go to these places that are just these mega gyms, and they get lost in the shuffle. They're just another body. They're paying $250 a month to go and get beat up on, and they never progress. They go there simply because, you know, Joe Smith of the, you know, big name is there or whatever. But and they get lost in the shuffle, and they never have a career. I mean, how many guys I see, you know, they've been at the same place for the last, you know, 7-8 years, and they fought twice. You know what I mean? It's because no one cares about you. You know what I mean? They want to take your money. They want to let the bigger names guys beat up on you. And that part actually saddens me, because there are some really good places out there that and extremely good coaches, but they never get the opportunity to show how good they really are, because you get these guys that are so gullible. They see something on TV and, oh, that's where I'm going to go, instead of actually doing some research and checking them out. And really, wherever you're at, putting in 100% of the work. You can't expect to go to a place and be there for a couple of years and you only put in 50% work and you're expecting 100% results. That's your fault. And oftentimes you see these fighters, they go there, oh, well, I didn't get the training I wanted, so I got to go to this place. Well, that's bullshit. You only train 50% of the time and you were expecting 100% results, and now you leave a team that could have given you everything you needed, but you go to this other one over here because your own mistakes. And it's rough. It's hard to see because it happens so often. And it's actually sad. I hate it because, you know, if you only put in 50% of the work and you expect 100% result, you're just not going to get it. That's your fault. And hopefully, you know, these athletes and the sports all over the country, they realize it before it's too late. Because you only got one shot, and the window of athletics is very small.
Amen to that. I don't think you could have been more spot on. You know, I'm not going to mention any gyms because I don't want to roll that way. But I see those fighters that you talk about that end up just being a gym workhorse and never going anywhere. But then you look at the aspect of Alima Leigh McFarlane, who's the champion in Bellator. You know, she did what you suggested. She went from gym to gym to gym, and ultimately, one day, she found this little small hole in the wall. You know,
yep.
There wasn't no UFC stars
yep.
there. There wasn't nobody
yeah,
there.
We
there was just
with we went down and trained with Alima. It's probably a little over a year ago now, and yeah, man, she's an awesome fighter. Very humble, very respectful girl. She's at the top for a reason. She stayed close to those that have helped her. She stayed loyal to those that have helped her. She's believed in it. And you know, the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, it truly is, because, you know, I had her on my show, and loyalty is a big factor with her, and what she found in that small, humble environment, you know, allowed her to not only grow as a fighter, but grow as a person. Aspen, would you say that the same scenario applied for you under MMA Gold?
Absolutely. Because, as I said, I've had training partners, and there are a handful of good ones that have been around forever, but people come and go. The team changes, especially as the years goes on. People come in, they go out. But what's really helped me progress and people that I feel loyal to are the coaches. So that is my little team. Everybody else comes in and out, but they've stayed the same. Jim West, Mike Guy, Doug K. Spear, and Alex Grunder, my wrestling coach. And then recently we have a new addition to the team who I'm very excited about, and I feel he's helped me a lot.
Jake Duengondra, he's our Muay Thai coach.
Yes. But, and he's new to the team and fantastic, but that's what's allowed me to progress and keep him loyal to them, not stabbing anybody in the back, not taking and never giving. That's, it's just, it's easy. Honestly, if you're just a good person with basic loyalty and basic instincts of right and wrong, it helps you a lot in life.
It truly does. You know, it's kind of, I love that you guys, you know, phrased it that way and put it in that analogy, because I've had legends, I've had world champions, and that statement rings true with them, you know, the loyalty, and belief. And that's what I see in the pairing of you two. That's what I see in all the aspects of all the fighters from MMA Gold, is the unique ability to be one. And, you know, Jim, I don't think you could have said it any better earlier when you said that, you know, people think that some gyms are the greatest place because so-and-so is the instructor there or trains there. You know, that doesn't equate or, you know, make a fighter what they need to be. All that is a gym with a tremendous name in it. You look at MMA Gold and you look at the training regime and you look at the aspects that you guys instill each and every day in your fighters. It's truly correlated and showing in the sport. You know, so with that being said, how precious of a moment or a step is this for you two tomorrow to take this next avenue in the life of MMA Gold and Aspen Ladd?
It's just, to me, it's the next step. And that's the way I look at it. It's the next step of progression. It's a blessing. It's extremely fun. And it's our next step to proving what we can do. It's kind of how I look at it.
I truly believe it is. I mean, you truly have amazed me in the abilities that you've conditioned and expressed as a team into the sport. You know, tomorrow is a highly touted fight. You know, Aspen's career is something that is tremendous. You look back at Max Griffin's last outing, as tremendous as it can be. You know, all I see is growth in the fighters under your guys' care, and I think it's truly tremendous what you're doing in the sport. Jim, if you had to make a statement about what the sport truly means to you, how do you feel affirmed in it, and what are your beliefs that drew you to the sport to begin with, what would that statement be, my friend?
Well, I've always been competitive, Don. I played sports my whole life, collegiately, semi-pro baseball, all that kind of stuff. So I've always been competitive in nature. So I kind of transitioned. I couldn't stay away from the competitive side of things. And then when I started grappling, I don't know, in 2005 or so, you know, things kind of just progressed from there. I'm humbled by being able to coach and impact people. I'm humbled because I learn from our athletes just as much as I try to. I hope that they learn from me. That's a big aspect. To me, I learn from Aspen. I learn from Fluffy. I learn from them all. I learn from the guy that just walked in for the very first day of training. You can take a piece and learn something from everyone, and I've always maintained that same attitude. And I think it's helped and mold myself and help mold athletes to try to teach them that you can learn from anyone. That's the biggest takeaway that I guess I can say that I've taken from MMA is just being able to learn from anyone and everyone, and to remain humble, respectful, but vigilant in what your approach is.
Yes. You know, I love that. How dope is the UFC Performance Center? I mean, I know what it looks like. I've been there, you know, but how awesome is it to be able to have that type of facility, you know, before your fight, Aspen? How wonderful is it to be able to have everything all in one place so you don't have to venture out? What does it mean to you for the UFC to give you the opportunity to train and get focused at a place of that magnitude?
Oh, it's definitely a sense of accomplishment that I'm able to be here and one of the UFC's athletes. But it's fantastic being able to train here. As far as the physical therapy, is a huge deal. Not just that, but the coaches they have here, the personnel, everybody is informed. Everybody knows who you are. They know what you need. And then if they're not sure about it, they set up another 10 appointments to make sure they are. It's just everybody's so on top of things. But for me, the biggest thing is the physical therapy and getting myself worked on. And, like, I have another session coming up here at 2:30. I'm going to be working. But it's just the ability to have all these experts in one place.
Yeah, it's tremendous. My buddy, Tim Elliott, of course, Coach, rest in peace, wrote, you know, Coach Robert Fallis, he passed away. But Tim Elliott had moved out there, you know, for two reasons. One, he was a tremendous coach in the UFC Performance Center. You know, it says profound things about what they're giving back to their athletes. You know, Aspen, you have a great opportunity tomorrow. You know, I know you don't talk shit. I know you're not that type of person. You do your work in the cage, and you do it very profoundly. But if you had to make a statement about what the fans could expect come tomorrow night at UFC Fight Night, what would that statement be, my friend?
The statement would be for on April 21st, and if you watch my career, it'll be the same thing. I'm going to go out and strive for the finish. Everything I do, every moment in there, will be to get the other person out. I don't need to talk shit. I'm never going to fight. But it's the same as every fight before it. It's the most important fight. She's the most dangerous opponent, and I'm going to go in there to try to finish her.
And I don't know why I said tomorrow night, because it is April 21st. You know, it goes to show you I'm not all, you know, as tidy down as I should be over here. You know, sometimes we do make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but we're not perfect. You know, the thing about it is, you know, Jim, the reason I'm glad, you know, we got together and did this show, because it took care of certain aspects for me in life as a journalist, as a person, and a deep thought. You know, what I see is a man that's deeply rooted in a sport that he truly loves. I see a man that gives back unconditionally to each and every fighter. You know, that's got to be a tremendous feeling on one hand. And the other, you get to sit back and reap the success of all the hard work that you've put into it. You know, so with that being said, what chapter or what storyline could Jim West add to his life that already is extraordinary?
To be continued. It's going to continue to evolve. Yeah, I mean, that's it. I ain't stopping. You know, it's one step at a time. So that's all I say. It's to be continued.
Yeah, I love it, man, because I've watched you kind of grow. I watched the team grow. And what you guys are doing is tremendous. You know, I love this sport, and I can honestly say that I've never seen anybody, and I'm not, and I hate to cuss on my own show, but I'm not kissing your ass, Aspen, but the thing of it is, I've never seen somebody so passionate and prevalent in becoming something. And, you know, first and foremost, that has to be self-instilled, and then secondly, it comes from the people that you surround yourself with. So with that being said, you know, you look at Aspen Ladd, the warrior, you know, you truly are on a road to greatness. You truly are on a path that will define you. You know, you've already created or started to create a legacy for yourself and your team. When you look at it in that aspect, leaving a mark in the sport as you have, what has it meant to Aspen Ladd, not the warrior, but the person in your walk in life?
Honestly, I'm just blessed to be where I am right now in life. I was blessed to find the particular group of people I did and to have the work ethic instilled in me by my family and my parents. It's never something that I think about. It's not something, it's just who I am. And I do credit that with the way I was raised and then finding my particular set of coaches. Jim West, fantastic coach, a obsessive as all heck, but it suits him. But for me, it's just a profound feeling of gratitude all the time. As far as making a mark on the sport, I'm very young in it and only 6 fights in right now. Just turned 23. I'm going to be here for many, many years. So we'll see at the end.
We know that, but you've already created the beginning of a legacy, whether you want to admit to it or not, you know, because 10 years from now, 20 years from now, your family can look back and look at what you created and what you've done. And, you know, the tremendous thing about it is you've set a precedence for not just fighters, but people in life. You've shown people that whenever you set a goal, you accomplish it, you see it through. And that's what I see is a tremendous facet to you. You know, being up there in the mountains, having that opportunity to get away from the big cities and things of that nature, would you say it's helped you grow as a fighter in depth and in heart?
I think it's helped me grow as a person because I was that individual. I was the introverted, mountain-loving, animal-loving hiker my entire life. I've been that way since I was about 10 years old. And just always outside, always seeking out adventure, always trying to figure out things, but on my own for the most part. I've never particularly been fond of being around a ton of people at all. I love nature, and I love the ability to get outside and not have to talk to people, think about it. And it allows you to get very into your own mind and your own goals. Because you're out hiking for 6-7 hours, what are you going to think about? You're going to think about your goals. You're going to think about what you're going to do in training. You're going to think about what you learned in training the night before. And you're going to make plans. You're going to make plans and take out the little details that are necessary. And you're going to obsessively think about your next fight, which is something I do over and over and over every time. By the time I get in there, I've had that fight 100 times, every scenario, all in my mind. But for me, that's the big thing. The ability to get away from people, I think, I would not do well in a city at this point at all. Heck, being in Vegas or LA for a few days, I feel like I need to come home and detox. But it has really helped me as a person.
You know, it's kind of like I've been in this business for 21 years. I tell you what, I relish the days that I get to go fishing and just get away from everything because it does. It allows you to become one with yourself and get a greater understanding in life. You know, Jim, I thought this show was a necessity, and I'm very glad we did it because, you know, I look at certain aspects of the sport, and, you know, we've got our haters, we've got people that ridicule, and sometimes in life we allow others to recorrelate our thoughts, and, you know, life shouldn't be that way. You know, I should do others as they do me. And, you know, first and foremost, I'm going to extend my hand to you as a man. I'm doing it live on the air because, you know, it's heartfelt, it's real, and it's genuine. I want to extend my hand to you and apologize for any inadequacies on my part because, you know, you look at life and you should treat people as they treat you. And, you know, I let some things hinder my thoughts, and I want to apologize to you man to man because what I think you're doing in the sport is tremendous. You know, some of the things that played out were kind of childish on some aspects, and as a man, I just want to apologize to you because you've got my respect, my friend.
Well, thank you. I've always respected you, Don. I never don't really have much ill will against anyone. I mean, even all the, you know, guys that have left our team or whatever, I wish them success too. Yeah, I mean, there has been times where I've been irritated and obviously annoyed and all those different kind of emotions. But at the end of the day, you know, everyone gets the choice to make their own bed, and they also get the choice to lay in whatever they make. And it's not my job to, you know, be mad about it per se. Disappointed maybe, you know. But, you know, I wish them success too. So, you know, I've always respected you. I respect those that have hated against me or hated against our team or whatever it may be. You know, at the end of the day, like I told you, it's always going to be to be continued. I'm always going to be here. I'm always going to do the best job that I possibly can. And I'm also always going to be confident in my abilities to ensure fighters are successful. I just hope they listen. And if they do, they probably will be successful. It's kind of how I look at it.
Well, my friend, you look at Team MMA Gold, and they truly are successful. And even if they do get a lesson taught, they come back that much better each and every outing. You know, it's truly been an honor to be able to share both of you on the show today. You know, I think what you're doing as a coach, as a team, is tremendous. I think it needs to be shared more with the world. The aspects of MMA Gold is a humbling gem, but with world-class talent. And you don't find that very much anymore in today's sport. So what you and your team are doing over there is a tremendous facet, and adding to the sport is just, the cherry on top, you could say, because you truly could see that you have compassion for what you're doing. And it was truly an honor to be able to share that aspect of Jim West. You know, yeah, Aspen's on the phone call with us, but I truly wanted to make this show about Jim West, because what I've seen from the day that I've met you to now is the ability to show people in life that growth is essential, knowledge is essential, and family is the key in making this all come together. And you truly have demonstrated that in the sport, my friend.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate it. Thank you for all you do in the sport.
I appreciate that, my friend. Well, what I'm going to do at this point in time, I'm going to allow you, Jim, because you were truly the guest on the show and Aspen joined us, but I'm going to allow you to make a statement to you know, my listeners, the sport, in the thoughts of Jim West. What does life, the sport, and the preclusion, you say it's to be continued, but what has brought you to this point? And if you can correlate that to a statement and into the future, what would that be?
So, well, I'm going to go on my thank yous and all that kind of stuff too. You know, first and foremost, I have to thank my parents for always instilling in me hard work, determination, dedication, and never believing in a participation trophy. You know, and earning every little ounce that you get. And I take that, what I have learned, my parents have taught me from when I was young, you know, all those things. I've tried to take those things and instill those things into how we coach at MMA Gold and the things that we do. And I will continue to do that. That's our approach. Look, not everyone gets the participation trophy. I don't believe in that. You earn it. If you want 100% of my time, you're going to give me 100% of your effort. If you want 50% of my time, I will give you 50% effort. That's how it works. If you want to be successful, you know, you come and tell me that this is what you want to do, then I expect you to give me everything that you are, and I will in turn give you the same thing. But if you give me less, I will give you less. That's fair. That's how life works. That's how athletics work. And if you earn those things, then by all means, they're all yours, and we'll give them to you. So like I said, that's basically my statement. I thank everyone, for my parents. I thank all the athletes. I thank every one of the coaches at MMA Gold. I couldn't do it without them. Couldn't do it without the athletes. I couldn't, you know, but it all started from how I was taught. And, I try to take that same approach, into MMA and into our team. And it will always still be to be continued.
I love that, and I'm right there with you. You know, I saw a video the other day, and it thoroughly disgusted me. I'm 51 years old, but I saw a video of soccerless soccer, and I was like,
"What the hell that is?
Huh?
Is it a tag?
You know,
is it a tag?
There was no ball. They were playing soccer, but with no ball, and it was so everybody was a winner, and I looked at that video and I was like, what are you teaching kids in life if everybody's a winner? That isn't real life. That isn't the aspect of, you know, what made me and the man I am today. Society has changed, but it's an honor to still see somebody that has the old school values and mentality as you do, Jim. And I hope you keep praising the youth that walk through your doors, because the ability that you show and have shared with the world is tremendous. You know, I'm going to finish this up with Aspen real quick. Aspen, you know, you got this great big fight coming up. We've already touched on all that. You know, hearing the loyalty, the heart, the true aspect of what MMA Gold is founded on, it brought you there, it's kept you there, it's allowed you to succeed. What, if anything, could Aspen Ladd, the warrior, share with anybody that wants to follow in your footsteps?
It's easy, honestly. You find a good place with knowledgeable people. You build a bond with them, loyalty, trust. And then you don't screw anybody over. But beyond all of it, show up every single day and give your best. Hard work is what will get you anywhere. It's not, I'm going to come in when I feel good. It's not, I'm going to be here, you know, when I have a free day. It's you make time and you show up every single day. When you're making no money, when you're just beat up all the time, you don't. It doesn't feel good. And eventually you'll get where you want to be. Show up. Do the work. Don't be a scumbag. And that's about it.
Yeah, well, you've truly demonstrated that in your life, you know, and I'm honored that you both took the time to come on my show today. You know, I don't know if there's anybody that either one of you want to thank or any social media sites that you want to give or just anything else that you want to add to the show. I'm going to leave it open to whoever wants to start first, but the floor is either one of yours.
Like I said, the biggest thing is I'm always going to say thanks to my parents. I'm going to say thanks to all of our coaches at MMA Gold because couldn't do it without them. Our management, Dave. That's where my biggest things are going to go to. Aspen can probably speak to a lot of the sponsors and stuff. I know Power Balance is a huge sponsor of Aspen. K3 Productions is a new one that just came aboard for Aspen. Hayabusa, Gamma Labs, NorCal Spine and Sport, who have been there since Aspen very first started when she was 17 or 18. So thank you to all of those sponsors. Thank you to Don McGuire for putting us on the show. And April 21st, we're coming.
I believe that. You know, I can't wait for April 21st. I apologize for adding it was tomorrow. I was like, oh, well, wait a minute, what did I do there? But, you know, the next time you guys come on the show, it'll be in video format as the show's grown so immense. And it's like, I'm sorry I'm kind of chaotic today. It's been one of those weeks where we're building the platform and I have to get the RSS feeds and all these other things everywhere. But, you know, I was honored to have you guys on the show today. You know, Aspen, if there's anything that you'd like to add to the program before we let you go, I would truly appreciate it, and I'm honored you came on the show today.
Jim covered all our bases, I think, as far as the sponsors go. For me, it's the biggest thing is always thanking all of my coaches. Obviously, he's here already. So Mike Guy, Alex Render, Jake
Duangandra.
Jake Duangandra. I'm terrible at last names, and he has a tough one. But Jake Duangandra has helped me a ton, and you'll see that in the next fight. As well as Doug Casebeer, he's been with me for 4 years. And my manager, Dave Hirschbein, of course. But it's the group that's helped me get to this point, and I'm incredibly grateful for all their effort. So that's it for me.
Well, you know, Aspen, I've been a fan of yours since day one. I wish you the best come April 21st. You know, you already know you've got one of the best places to train at. You got some of the best coaches in the world. I wish you both the best of luck come April 21st. You know, I think it's truly going to be a night that defines Aspen Ladd for the future and makes MMA Gold that much more of a stable place in the sport as it already is. I'm truly honored, and I thank you both for joining the show today.
Thanks, Don. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, buddy. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the head coach of MMA Gold, Jim West, and set to fight Leslie Smith on April 21st, Don McGuire. she said, you know, I don't know what I was thinking there. You know, I've got 20 things going through my head. And live radio, you can't take nothing back. It's just part of life. A screw-up, it's got to be owned up. On that note, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. Without you, the show wouldn't be possible. I want to thank the 86ers.net, Alfred and Freddie, a tremendous organization. BiteMeMouthGuards.com. If you're looking for one of the best mouth guards in the business, go to BiteMeMouthGuards.com. On that note, it's been kind of a sloppy show today, but the intent was there, and the value of what Jim West shared was truly, actually humbling. You know, to hear the growth of that team and Jim West himself, it's truly profound. On that note, I want to say thank you, and I think I'm going to take us out with a little bit of some rock and roll today. To each and every one of you, good day, and God bless.